This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
You are one of those lucky people that can travel anywhere.
Yes, ma'am, I know.
And they sometimes call you nomads.
My mom said that you're homeless. Is that true?
No, I'm not homeless. I'm just houseless. Not the same thing, right?
No.
My husband worked at the USG mine in Empire. I was a substitute teacher.
It is a tough time right now. You may want to consider early retirement.
I need work. I like work.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Welcome to Badlands Spa.
What the nomads are doing is not that different than what the pioneers did.
Hey, Fern! You gotta make the hole bigger.
I think Fern's part of an American tradition.
Oh, he's gonna come right through the glass.
My dad used to say, what's remembered lives. I maybe spent too much of my life just remembering.
Things I love most about this life is that there's no final goodbye. I've met hundreds of people out here, and I don't ever say a final goodbye. Let's just say, I'll see you down the road. And I do. I see them again. And I can be certain in my heart, I'll see you again.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Film Effect with Tiff. I'm back. Back again. I have an awesome, amazing, one of my favorite people ever is here. And her name is Jamie Foxx.
Hello, world.
Yes. Don't you love a microphone? Isn't it just so awesome?
Yeah, I love it, man.
I know. And you know, because you've been doing this, you want to tell my guests.
About me?
My guests, my listeners. How old am I? Wait.
Whoa.
Tell us about yourself, Jamie.
All
what
right,
do you do?
So you want to know about me.
If well, you have anything to promote or just share.
You know, I'm just happy to be here. It's really nice, and it's a great blessing. So thank you for having me on your show today, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with you about the subject matter of the movie that we are talking about. As for me, I'm just... very chill person, and I've had a wonderful career as a DJ and,
yes,
you know, an entertainer, a promoter. I've traveled all over North America and worked in a lot of major markets. I've done so many incredible things with so many incredible people. So I'm just really blessed, you know. I feel really good. I love it. I've thrown parties in D.C. and
I know you have the kind of life that, like, I remember when I first was talking to you, I met you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I kind of wish I had your life a little bit, you know?
Oh, come on now. Really?
I'm serious.
You're too kind.
Well, listen, I know if I talk to my kids, they're like, you've done a lot, you know? And I'm like, yeah,
well,
but.
Well, you have done a lot.
I have, but I have, like, okay, so today, if you heard the opening, everyone, Nomadland is the topic.
Yeah.
And I will admit that I kind of force this topic on you. Sometimes I pull the movie from the guest, which is usually the format of
hey,
the
I
show.
Hey, I don't mind. I can speak to this.
But
this
I thought
subject,
this
you know?
This seemed really interesting, and then you mentioned that you could relate to the subject, the theme of this movie about the nomad lifestyle, and I thought, bam, that's what we're going to talk about.
Okay, so you want me to tell my history as far as being a full-time RVer on the road.
Sure,
if
you
want.
Is
that what you're getting to? All
well,
right,
first,
I got
let's
it.
Here's what we'll do. I'll start off with the movie info. So if you guys don't know this movie is called Nomadland. It actually just won Best Picture at the Golden Globes. Did you watch the Golden Globes?
I did not, but I am so happy about this because really this movie just breaks so many barriers on so many levels.
Totally.
So I was really happy with the result. I've been following this movie since its conception.
Oh.
And it's been pretty cool because I have such an interest in the lifestyle, having done it myself.
Yeah, and it's funny because you know, van life is such a thing now.
Oh, it's trendy as hell.
It is, but when you see people like on Insta, it's very glamorous.
It's not really.
It's always young, hot people.
Of course.
And then you think, and then this movie comes along and I'm like, that ain't van life that I've seen. That is not, I mean, to be realistic, it's just a very real portrayal, I think, of this. And I think that the media sometimes feeds us these kind of, you know, very like shiny versions of something like Nomads.
Sure,
you know?
Sanitized.
Yeah. And
totally
so
sanitized.
I kind of appreciated that. I was like, oh, okay, that's what this is. Like, it's not what people may assume. And I'm not saying everyone does, but I definitely will admit that I had a preconceived notion of like this new idea of van life. And I liked that this movie just really brought it to reality in terms of like what it really
is. It's a very grounded movie.
It is.
It's very grounded.
It is an interesting take. And I, backwards. Let me go. I need to go back. I want to just give people, how did I lose this now? Hold on. I just always do this. So if you guys need to know the stats, the facts, the information on this film, let me give them to you. This movie just made in 2020, or at least released 2020. It is directed by Chloe Zhao. I think that's how you say her name.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Chloe, you did a good job. Writers, Jessica Bruder, based on the book. And then also Chloe, I guess they worked together to write the screenplay for this. Stars the amazing... The amazing Frances McDormand.
Oh, my God, I love her.
Is she not the fucking best?
Oh, my God, I love her. I mean, how can you not?
Oh, my God,
I love her. She's such an amazing actor.
So good. She's, I think, everything she's done. I mean, I remember seeing her in, what's that, oh, my God, man. Where is my brain?
Well, you think about it for a second. I'll chat. It's all good. I love you so much.
Oh,
man.
My God. Okay. Coen Brothers.
That's right. The Coen Brothers.
One of the first movies.
Fargo.
It's not. It's before Fargo.
Before Fargo.
It is.
Christ Almighty, the woodchopper scene in Fargo.
Oh, my God.
I'm like,
all right, you know what? We're just going to go to it because I can't believe it's one of my favorite movies. I've seen it like a million times.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that whole cast.
Blood Simple.
Blood Simple. See, we started chatting about something else, and then boom, right into your brain it went.
Thank you. Yeah. Bringing it back around. So Blood Simple, one of my favorites. If you haven't seen that, I think that was like a breakout movie for her, and she's just awesome in it. So, and of course Fargo, and of course everything she does, because she just kills it every which way.
I mean, her rap sheet is long.
Yeah, and I'm going to say... Here's the most interesting thing about this movie to me, which is one thing I want to talk about with you, and also talk about your own experience.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Yeah.
Is that I kind of sensed it while I was watching it, but you kind of get the feel that these people aren't really actors.
They're not.
They're not. And so you don't really
they
know this for sure.
They're
I didn't
real.
Know. They're real people. So they when are. You go to the credits of this movie, when you start looking at the cast list... Everyone is really playing themselves because they're just real freaking people.
And they're not even playing, man. It's like you can't get any more real. This is like a whole different kind of reality TV. But it's on
crazy.
You know, it's a motion picture.
Yeah.
It blew my mind.
It was really fascinating to me. And I want to sit down with her. I wish I could like talk to her because it's still a fictional film. So how do you do that?
You know, really for her, I think she was just, she really embodied that character 100%. I mean, you know, the cup runneth over with that character in her body. It's like she channeled that woman.
Totally.
And, you know, I think that's why it was so easy for them to be themselves with her. Because even though there was a crew around and all the technical hoopla was going on around them, you know. I think when you have that kind of capability as an actor, you can really connect with someone, even though you're acting.
You're right.
I mean, it's like you're sitting there, even if it's a movie set, you are connecting with them on such a level that is so personal and so raw and so real that they just cannot help but expose themselves.
I think you're right. And I did read a little. I didn't do too much background, but I know that they did spend, like, the crew actually lived out in vans. Like, they actually lived out with the people while they were filming for a while. So I feel like the whole environment around this movie was to create that kind of connection and that kind of, like,
vibe
environment, so that they could all really bring it. I'll read you guys the real quick description, listeners. After losing everything in the Great Recession, a woman embarks on a journey through the American West, living as a van-dwelling modern-day nomad. Okay. What did you think of the... first of all, let me I'm jumping around, but so you did mention you connected to this in a personal way. Yeah. Do you want to share that a little bit?
Yeah, sure, sure. Well, you know, I throughout my career, I've always traveled. Mm-hmm. So I actually had an accident, and I'm not going to be shy. I ended up losing everything.
Wow.
So I had to... Really, by it wasn't my choice. I mean, I always loved camping. I had a blast doing it. But I never in my life thought that I would be clearing out a three-bedroom house with a garage.
Wow.
And buying a truck and a trailer and living on the road. Never. I did that in the 90s.
Okay.
Okay. Before it was cool.
Well, and before, you know, I just read that description, but this is a comment on that time, the Great Recession, mm-hmm. which I think was around 2008, maybe?
Yeah, 2008.
So this isn't that same time frame for you, but I think that's a similar scenario where you've got people... It felt like for her character, it was not really a choice right away, mm-hmm. but then it became more of a choice.
Yeah, well, that's what I love about the depth. There's just, like, I know it's cliche to say this, but... First of all, if you can stomach the movie, and what I mean by that is this is not a happy movie. This is a very, it's a portrayal of something that happened. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a movie for everyone. I mean, my best friend, I invited her to watch it, and she said, I couldn't sit through all of it. It's dark.
Why did she not? Did she not like it?
It's not that she didn't like it. It was just seeing that woman go through everything that she was going through by no choice of her own, like floating out there in the ocean all by herself, even though she was surrounded by people. She was still alone.
Yeah.
In that van. I mean, that's like 20 feet, maybe 18, 16, 10, 12 feet of living space. Because once you cram everything into the van, and I've had a van.
Yeah.
I've had a van. I've had a trailer. I've had a Class A motorhome. So I'm very, you know, I know what it's like. And we have a rule in the life, you know. If you bring something in, something has to go out. So
I see.
Regardless of the space you're living in, if you're living in a really small space, it can become cramped right away.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked cramped.
It was cramped.
I mean, for her specifically, she had, you know, it seemed small. Even her sleeping space, her feet were crunched up.
Man, she made good use of every little scrap of space she had,
damn
though.
Straight.
I'm saying.
I have to be honest. This is an interesting movie for me, uh-huh. because I've been obsessed with this for a while. If you talk to Nicole, my wife, like,
yeah.
I love this idea, and I always say, like, when am I going to get my van and get the fuck out of here? Like, I, like, have fantasies of doing this, and yeah. I've even had jokes where I'll say, like, you know what I want to do? I just want to get the kids in the car and, like, hit the road, you know? So it's a very kind of dreamy idea. But then you see the reality, and I know that the it's something in the middle, right? If for somebody who this may be appealing to, it's not going to be all that it's you think it might be. But
well, I mean, the people I bought my motorhome from,
mm-hmm.
they bought it expressly so that they could take their kids all over the country in the summertime. And show them places in different, you know, in the United States, it's a continent. I mean. We're all United States citizens, but holy Christ. I mean, we live on a continent. It's huge.
It is, yeah.
The landscape changes. The people change.
Totally.
The, you know, the way people speak, their dialects. You know, yeah, there's such thing as an American English, but holy cow. You go to Boston.
Right.
And then you go to New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans. I love you.
Okay.
Obsessed.
Okay. I'm just saying. Or you go to Miami, and that's a whole different flavor.
Oh, my
God.
You
go to the West Coast, there's a whole different flavor there. The Midwest, I mean, everybody. We're still under one roof, but, man, we're a bunch of different people. It is a melting pot.
It is. It is.
So, you know, they bought the Class A to take their kids across the United States and teach them what history and what the country is really about.
That's so cool.
So, I mean, you could definitely do that with your kids. Your experience will still be different because, you know, it'll be like
a vacation.
A vacation and a temporary thing. It won't be like, it won't be like Nomadland. I mean,
no,
I have stories for you, man.
Oh, my God, listen, we could be here all day.
We could be, but I'll try.
Tell me, do you have one that, just pick one.
Okay, so.
What you got?
I was down in, backstory. So I bought the trailer. And I thought, well, I'm going to travel. So Hurricane Charley had just gone through Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And my folks lived down there at the time. And so it just pretty much wiped a swath off the... I mean, it flattened everything. It was crazy. It just wiped it out. So I went down there to do hurricane cleanup and DJ. I had gigs down there. So I started traveling in my trailer and doing gigs and working out of the trailer. It was awesome.
I was going to say, that must have been so cool.
It was fun. So I went down to Florida, and while I was there, I did some volunteer work for the state, you know, as a host, a camp host. And we can talk more about camp hosting later. But so while I was down there, I was at a state park just outside of Bradenton, Florida. This is a true story, too. So I'm down there, and every morning... a school bus would come because there were people with their families, their kids, that had lost everything.
Oh, man.
They were living in, you know how you can go to Walmart or Kmart, whatever, and buy these great big tents that hold like 10 people. Well, imagine living in a campground in a tent with like 4 kids.
Holy shit.
You know, trying to have as normal a life as you possibly could under the circumstances, trying to keep everything together. Some of these people lost everything, including their jobs. You know, it was a rough time at that time. So every morning the school bus would come and pick up the children. Every morning. And I just thought to myself, wow, this is mind-blowing. These people don't have any other place to go. They've lost everything. And yet, here they are trying to keep it together, and they're sending those kids to school just like it's a normal day.
Wow.
I mean, it just, my mind totally blown. That's a very poignant story, but that's the kind of thing that you see when you're out on the road. You know, when you're out camping all across the United States, you see things, you meet people. I've met the best people traveling, and some of them are still my friends all these many years later. We stay in touch, very, very close friends. But you start to see how different people live in different places, how they add up all the things that make their day-to-day lives. And then if you stay for, you know, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, however long, you see all of that adding up over a long period of time, and then you start to realize how much you really take for granted in life.
Oh, okay.
You know? And then I think for me, the biggest lesson was actually just learning how to be more aware and more grateful. You know?
That's huge.
Because there were people out there who really had it a lot worse than I did. And they inspired me, you know, to do better, to never give up hope. I mean, getting back to the movie, that's what really rang home with me about
that
movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, that woman was really ill.
The one, which one? The
what was her name? I want to say.
Oh, great.
I want to say Cappy, but I don't think her name was Cappy.
Oh my God!
You know,
hold on.
find out who it is.
Wait for it.
The
well, there's Gay.
Yeah.
There's Patty.
Yeah.
Linda May.
Linda May, I think.
I think it was Linda. Which one?
I don't know.
Hold on.
No, Linda May.
Linda May was the one that was like her buddy.
Yeah, that's Linda May, the buddy.
You know what's hilarious is I'm looking this up on IMDb, and because these people aren't actors, there are no photos in their names. Because they don't have a headshot. Isn't that funny? I'm like, wait a minute. I don't even know what this person looks like.
Could you go to the website, maybe?
I don't know. I know which one you're talking about, though. In the movie, yes, and she does get sick.
And we don't want to spoil it. But
yeah. You know what? I'll tell you. I'm going to be honest. I love the movie. At first, I will be honest. When I first saw it, I was with me and Nicole went. She loved it.
Yeah.
I was a little bit frustrated because I'm like thinking I'm seeing a movie. You know what I mean? Right. Like my expectation was like, there's going to be a character. There's going to be an arc. Like, and there was so much time spent showing Fern, you know, Frances, just going about things, and I was dying to know her story.
Right.
But they don't really give it to you until like 3/4 into the movie,
mm-hmm.
which I guess as I looked back on it, it was like, okay, that was cool. But I remember in the moment I was watching it, I was like craving that for mm-hmm. the whole like first part of the movie. I was like, what is happening? Like I knew that like, we knew that like the town had been wiped, you know, that whole life was over. Yep. You knew that she was already doing the nomad life. She was working when she could. She was struggling.
Uh-huh.
I knew that she was debating whether she should, like, go out to this event, you mm-hmm, know, like, mm-hmm. get beyond where she is and kind of move, go see some other things.
Sure.
So that was, like, the pivotal, like, question for her. Was she going to stay where she is and try to make it work, or is she going to, like, try to connect with people more, kind of, you know? Because mm-hmm. she was kind of a loner. She's a big loner. But then you find out later, I'm just going to jump all over, that she isn't so, like, alone in a sense. She's got a sister who's, like, come live with me.
Yep.
And that, to me, is a really huge part of the story, mm-hmm. is when you start to realize that...
The backstory
that, obviously, she had chose a certain kind of life with
exactly.
this man.
Yeah.
And they had their way of living and everything, but... This is a choice for her. That's the point where you really get it. Because I didn't know for that whole period that I thought, well, like, maybe she really has nobody.
Well, I had taken some notes, and now I can't find them
because
I have
okay.
a million freaking notes here. But here's the thing.
What do you think about, okay. like, that?
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yes.
I'll break it down for you.
Please do.
All right, first of all, you know, typically, now we both know this, every movie follows some kind of formula.
Right.
Okay. What I really found interesting about this movie is how they deconstructed the formula.
Right.
Instead of having the character development go the usual way and framing the characters in the beginning of the movie and then having you just kind of follow along and holding their hands, the way the characters were framed in this movie were more on an impersonal, day-to-day, just kind of a rendezvous during the day yeah. kind of thing, very casual. That's how it is.
Yeah.
That's how it really is when you're living that lifestyle. You see people in passing. You might see them in the shower if you're in a campground and you're taking, you know, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. Or you might see them passing, you know, in passing on the campground. But for the most part, unless you're an overly social person or you're, you know, there with, you know, familiar friends or whatever and you expect to hang out with them. You hang out by yourself. And me personally, when I'm alone, I love my solitude, and I love just hanging out by myself.
That's so interesting about you.
I'm like two people, actually.
Well, because you know what's funny is I think some people are like this, because you are. You can be really social and really, like, you know, friendly and, like, chatty and, like, you know, you have an energy about you. But that's interesting. I wouldn't have known that about you.
Yeah, I'm an introvert, actually. I have persona, so, you know, alter ego, so to speak.
Right, right.
So, yeah, but I think that's because I've spent my life being so noisy.
Oh.
You know, throwing parties, being a DJ, being on all the time, always mm-hmm. having to provide entertainment. It's a, you know, it's a wonderful job. It's a lot of work. It really is taxing. It does take a lot of energy to do that kind of thing. And not just be a DJ. Can you imagine being a mother? I mean, you are. You don't have to imagine. What am I thinking? Look, to be a mother.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, you're certainly not bringing your mom self here right now, right?
No, but...
So, you're bringing...
You're right. This is free me. This is free me. You're right. And we all have different personas.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. So, yeah. Frances McDormand in this movie, her persona was a widow.
Mm-hmm.
Who lost her husband, her house, her town, all the things that brought her security, comfort, you know, that foundation, even though she chose to be that way with her husband. And, you know, farther in the movie, you get the backstory about that. And that story in and of itself is unusual.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So here come the layers of the movie now. You know, that's what gives it such intensity and depth. Mm-hmm. So getting back to the framing thing, and I know I'm jumping around a little bit.
What we do.
And it's going to make sense. I'm going to bring it all back
I
around.
Believe you.
Thank you.
You will probably make more sense than I will by the end
I
of this.
I doubt it. Don't count on
Have
it.
Have you listened to me?
I think you're doing a fine job.
Oh my God.
So,
okay.
So here you have this gradual, gentle unfolding mm-hmm. of each character. Okay, so you get lightly and gently introduced to each character in the beginning. And then as the movie kind of moves on, you follow this woman, the protagonist, you know, the underdog, as she's journeying through her life one day at a time. And what she's doing, just to put it into context for you, is she's a seasonal worker. So she basically is moving with the seasons to do the jobs that are needed, the part-time jobs, because they're not full-time jobs. And there's a lot of, there's like Harvest Host and a bunch of other ones. And this is what people are doing. What really makes it so poignant nowadays is that here we are, 2021, we've had this crazy pandemic going on. So many people have lost their jobs. Yeah, we've had economic stimulus and whatnot, but still, a lot of people got behind on their mortgages. Some of them went into foreclosure. Some of them lost their apartments because, you know, I mean, the situation is so similar to what happened when the movie was set. And it's like history is repeating itself again. So here we have all these people that are now all of a sudden interested in the van life. And not because they want to, but because they have to. So if you're out on the bulletin boards and, you know, in the Facebook groups, there's a huge uptick in people looking for vans. I've got a girlfriend in Sonoma County, California right now building out her own van.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, van dwelling and whatnot it's become an alternative lifestyle, really.
Really has.
And it's cheap to do it. I mean, you can live cheap.
Right.
If you get really good at this kind of thing, you can really live very inexpensively. And you can do what this character in this movie did. You can move around the United States mm-hmm. and do these jobs.
Oh, my God. The wall drug. Or the, what do you call it? Am I saying that correctly?
I don't know.
The place they go to towards the end where she's with the guy and they, like, are working this place.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to my brain?
I don't know. It's here.
There was a thing in this movie. Okay, so I think it's the wall drug.
Maybe you're right.
It's
I don't remember.
The reason it and now I'm just interjecting.
I have a little short-term memory thing going on here, so.
It's not the wall drug. What is it called?
Are you talking about the crazy place that they went to?
The place she
ends up.
There
were so many places in this movie, my God.
It's going to make me insane that I can't.
Okay, let's talk about something else.
Go ahead.
So in framing all of these characters, as they slowly unfold,
yes,
really gently, then you start to see them exposed for what they've been through and where they're going and the choices that they make. A lot of these people are older people.
They are.
They're older people.
Yeah, this wasn't like you get it. You have moments where you see these younger people,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, just really living their free little young lives.
Sure.
For the moment. Yeah. Or maybe they're homeless, or maybe they're, you know, there's a lot of questions there, too, right?
Sure.
You see them and you go, are they drug addicts? Like, what's their deal? You know, uh-huh. like,
well, that's
are
a
they
misnomer about people who live
I
like
know.
This, too. I mean,
it
they're
really
very
is true.
You know, they're not all drug addicts or. I don't want to go there. But they're not all bad people. You know,
no, and do you think that's like a society thing now? Because I didn't,
it's
you know.
Been that, no, it's been that way forever.
Really? Because like I didn't, you know, it I was a kid of the 80s. I was born in 73. But I always think that like, oh, in the 70s, people were like this all the time, you know.
No. That's the hippie version of it.
That's the hippie version.
Yeah,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
Getting the love van, you know.
Yeah, or you see them like backpacking across the states, you know. Like I went, just sharing my own thing, I went cross country. Twice, not in a van, but I've been cross country twice.
Yeah.
The first time I went with my friend Kim, she was moving out to California after mm-hmm. college, mm-hmm. and we spent like 2 months just traveling around the United States. And we stayed in hotels, and we had no, you know, whatever. Yeah. We had saved up some money. So that was a very eye-opening experience for me, and I fucking loved it. Mm-hmm. And then I got mm-hmm. to do it again because I had, I'm the tag-along, everyone. My other friend decided to move from New York to San Francisco, and she's like, I got to drive across the country. I'm like, I'm coming. So I ended up going
right
along.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there, man.
So I'm like, can I go? And so she's like, hell yeah. And so we we did that quickly. That wasn't like a longer, let's just go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But it's very appealing to me. And I did see a lot of those people even then. This is in the 90s, but coming down the coast, you know, of California, you know, Oregon, PCH,
yeah.
especially like Oregon coast, you see these hippy dippy kids, you know, backpacking.
Uh-huh. Well, there there was that.
You kind of go, all right, well, that's.
But that's the romanticized, you know.
That is the romanticized.
I'm just saying, it really is.
Yes.
Because there's this stigma, and I got it.
Did
when
you?
When I was living in the trailer, sure, I got it. And you know.
What's the stigma that
it's trailer trash? You're trailer trash, or you know, look at what you haven't done in your life.
Are you homeless? Is that another one?
Yeah. Are you homeless? Why are you living like this? You should be. You know, here's the thing about society. Remember what Bob says in the movie? Do you remember that he said,
"Oh my God,"
the expectations about how you know you're supposed to have this kind of life, this prescribed kind of life, and yet you're doing this. That is the dichotomy that we saw between the protagonist character and her sister.
Yes.
There you saw it. Why don't you, you don't have to live like this. You can get off the road. You can come here. You can stay here. I mean, we have the means to take you in, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? She didn't want to do that. She didn't want to get out of the van. You want to know why? She didn't want to be eating out of the hand of her sister. She didn't want to be obliged to them. She did not want to lose her freedom. And that's the number one thing. It's still inside me.
Is it really? It's so interesting. I mean, I actually, that was one of the biggest messages I got from this, was that you start to understand as you start to get to know these other people, especially that she finally gets to this kind of like event, uh-huh. sort of, where they're having the bonfire and they're all connecting.
And then she has the epiphany.
Yeah, I think you're right. And she's realizing that, like, well, this is the thing that Bob says, too. It's that, you know, what are we doing in this society? Which is, like, you work your ass off your whole life, you get old, and then some people just die.
Yeah.
So it's like you're wasting all your time with this whole concept that we all, like, subscribe to.
The American dream.
Which, really, what is it? And so these people are saying, not me, man. I'm not doing that. Like, I've got now, I'm doing it now. Like, I'm not going to wait, and I don't care if I have the house and the thing
it's
and the,
funny you should say
the
that.
Two-car garage and the... So that's the comment that I got, was that, like, this was a real movement for these people, and they see this as, I am living the American dream.
That's right.
This is my American
that's
dream.
Right.
And obviously, these people are being informed by experiences that they've encountered. Like, you know, the one I think said that her friend, you know, did all this and then she like died right as she was about to go do this amazing dream that she had. And I think that these people have been affected in a way that has caused them to see this kind of, you know, perspective.
They became awakened.
Yes. I wish I had awakening music right now. <Do-do-de-do>.
I have some. I can play it.
Let's just find it. Okay.
I've got some awakening musical.
Here, pop some in. We'll have some tea.
Okay.
It's just funny, though, because this is how we do this, guys. But I love this topic. I love having you on. I think this is something that appeals to everyone in kind of a weird way. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm informed from my experience of going cross country that way and seeing...
You're plugging in.
You can.
You thank you, YouTube. Behold the power of.
Okay, so let's talk about the awakening that you're speaking of.
YouTube, here, turn it down. Hello, everyone.
Yes, welcome to the Awakening Nomad Podcast. Come on board. Get in the van, everybody.
Hop in the magical mystery bus, and come along for the ride of your life.
No, but really, what do you mean by?
No drugs needed. We're high on life.
You know I have a million more questions for you, but Because I do. Because
I knew this was going to be fun. Because
I know you a little bit, and I don't know if you want to get into those stories, but
we knew this was
going
to be a blast.
Let's talk about the lonely aspect of this, or the you can turn down a little bit. The sacrifices that these people are willing to make, which are big sacrifices. I mean, it is interesting to watch her turn it down. The hardest one to watch her turn down for me was the relationship with this man that she encounters on the road. And it made perfect sense to me, you could tell that she was grappling with this choice. Mm-hmm. And in the end, she chose to be alone.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, let's put it back into the context of what her sister offered her.
Hmm.
He was the poster boy for accepting an offer, such as what was offered to her. And she's thinking inside herself, I mean, if I had to, you know, put myself in her shoes, I'd be thinking, well, hell, if I'm not going to move in with my sister, why would I want to move in with these people who I don't even know?
Sure.
She would feel very odd. She's quirky. This woman is quirky.
She's not easy.
She's quirky.
She kind of freaked me out a couple times. Mm-hmm. I was like,
But that's a... See, yeah. You meet a lot of oddballs on the road
That. Right? Yeah.
You know? And she's been by herself for so long. A lot of people really do find their comfort and their peace and their personal awakening in their solitude. And I don't think she really wanted to give up that freedom. She didn't want... You know, she had just had the epiphany. She had just had her aha moment. She just figured out, oh, well, you know what? There's a lot more to this life than just trudging around from one seasonal job to another. I mean, there's a whole nother world out there that I haven't even explored yet. And then the guy comes along right as she's having this awakening.
True.
And he's saying, you know, you can come here and be with me. It's a beautiful place and the chickens and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, I really feel something for this guy, but no, I need to go and explore this side of my life that I've just discovered. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I agree. I almost wondered if he hadn't gone home,
mm-hmm.
if they would have just kind of continued on.
Sailed off into the
pavement together.
Well,
because they both were doing that. They were kind of doing it separately. Yeah. Then they were kind of... Not totally joined up.
I saw it coming together.
Yeah, and then you thought, well, maybe this is what they'll do now, you know, kind of together. Now let me get personal.
Okay.
So did you have relationships on the road, or like how did that...
How did that work?
Well, how did it look, or would you like to share?
I met a couple of people along the way that I was really interested in.
Yeah.
But because of the nature of what I was doing, it wasn't destined to work out.
No.
Same deal.
Yeah, but did you... it was fun, though.
What?
That. Just...
That what?
Sorry, I'm like a 12-year-old kid.
What did I do?
What did you do in the van, Jamie? I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, when the vans are rocking, don't come knocking.
So did you have a scorecard on the side? Just kidding.
Instead of the headboard...
This is also lending into my fantasies of...
So red. I love it. Let me take a picture of you turning red.
You guys know me if you listen.
Here, let's do this.
Come on. Who
meditation
doesn't think about
music
that?
Be gone.
Yeah, that's... we need to get rid of that. That is not...
We're gonna
Oh my god, please take my photo. I'm sweating. All right. Maybe there's like a different version of this
in my
head.
No. All right. Oh, this is... look at this picture of you. Isn't that perfect?
Oh my god. I'm a little angelic.
I know, right? As I ask these devilish questions.
I'm doing like this.
Okay, so if you think... Okay.
I mean, I really shouldn't be joking, but honestly...
No, it's okay.
You can answer it honestly.
I am. I'm going to.
Okay.
Right now.
Let's do it.
Are you all ears?
I am.
First of all,
mm-hmm.
being a DJ and living on the road is not a glamorous thing. Okay? First of all... As a DJ and, you know, entertainer, people just normally, I think, assume that I'm getting all kinds of offers from people, and sometimes I do, but you have to understand, I'm usually one of the first people to show up and one of the last people to leave, and by the time I leave, everyone's gone home.
Oh, good point.
So I'm leaving alone,
mm.
and usually after a long night of... energetically convincing people to dance and have a great time, I'm spent.
Totally, yeah.
So I go home tired. When I was living on the road, I would stay 6 months in one place, and I was a snowbird, especially in California.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'd do 6 months in Northern California and 6 months in Southern California.
Is it hard in cold weather?
Well, it can be very uncomfortable if you're not prepared.
Got it.
Okay. So it's like any endeavor. If you're going to be successful at it, you have to be prepared. So, you figure it out. And you meet a lot of people along the way, just like in the movie, where they share their information or the one thing out, one thing in. You know, didn't they meet over like a peeler? No, a can opener.
Maybe, so, yeah.
Yeah, her love interest. So, long story short, no, it's not all nookie on the road.
Damn it.
I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint you. It's a lonely life.
I mean, Nicole, if you're listening.
No, it's a lonely life. It can be very lonely.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, what I'm really getting to is this is an accurate portrayal.
Very accurate.
Yeah, but still a choice, and still people seem to choose it over companionship or the comforts of those things.
Well, you make your friends and you make your family on the road.
Right.
And, if you should meet someone, you know, I did meet a couple of people on the road that said, we're traveling together but separately. I said, how's that work? Well, you know, he has his trailer and I have mine. And we just take turns as we go down the road. So, yeah, I could see that happening with her character and her love interest. Some people do that. Some people do it in the same vehicle. They're retired couples, but as a solo person, I did meet someone along the way that I became very fond of, but it wasn't meant to be. It
wasn't meant to be, yeah. Mm-mm. So can I ask, how did you transition out of this? Or was there a choice there, or what?
Well,
and you don't have to, I'm asking personal questions.
No, it's fine. So here I am, I'm in California. Shouldn't we be talking about the movie?
You know, I do this to everyone.
Okay.
Well, what I'm doing is I have an opportunity with you that I don't have a lot of the time with the movie. So
I'm happy to answer.
I guess what I'll use this as, and you don't have to get personal, but
I don't mind.
Did you happen to see people? Because in the movie, we do, obviously, she chooses this.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's not the end of her life. We don't know. Maybe she does this for another year, and then she's like, you know what?
She drives off into the sunset.
Or she decides, I'm old. I don't know if I have this in me anymore. I'm going to have to go to my sister. Fuck.
I know, right?
Or whatever the situation is, you know? Or she meets some other person, and she decides to change her life. But
I'm happy to tell you my story.
Okay. I also wonder if other people, if you witnessed other people who did this for a while and then you realized that you could stop seeing them or they ditched this idea.
Some of them did it for fun. Some of them did it because they had to. Some of them were retired people.
Right.
And then they'd lose their partner. One of them would pass on, and so they'd have to get off the road. I met a woman who was 82 years old and doing it just because
she
wanted to. Yep,
awesome.
82 years old, sold everything, bought herself a nice little Class A, and,
That's amazing.
Yeah, 82 years old. Boy, she was chipper. So my situation was that, I really had some health problems, and then I just decided that, I was just going to take the show on the road, which is something that I had always wanted to do, and spend some time with people and get to know people that way. It was an adventure. I mean, honestly, it was really like an homage to my mother.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that she always wanted to do. But
that's awesome.
She passed away. So, I always felt her spirit with me when I was out on the road.
That's so cool.
So, yeah, I did. I went on the adventure of my life. I am so happy that I did it when I was in my 40s.
Yes.
I got off the road when I turned 50. Because 8 years was enough. But, there was the Great Recession.
Right.
And, a lot of places closed up. The business landscape changed. I went to L.A. for a while. And, nothing was happening. So I just sold all my stuff. I got some job offers back on the East Coast. And I said, time to head home because there's work there and there's nothing out here. Ironically, California's going through the very same situation now that it did then.
I know, so much crazy shit has happened. When you talked about that hurricane, I kept thinking of the fires.
Oh, yeah.
And what was that specific area called?
Well,
but yeah, just
so
the
many. There's yeah, just so many. Fires.
But that was like a community that was like a lower class community living in, like, you know, that just got completely destroyed.
Well, listen, I have a friend who lives in Santa Rosa, in a suburb of Santa Rosa. Mm. Her entire neighborhood burned. Oh, her house was the only one. The only one. I'm not kidding. And the entire neighborhood,
oh my God,
left standing.
That's crazy.
Okay?
That's crazy. Wow.
She went back to her neighborhood expecting to see nothing. And she said it looked like the moon or a nuclear blast site. And her house was the only one left standing.
That is nuts. Wow.
And that was in an upscale, mm-hmm. you know, upper middle class, very nice neighborhood.
That's really wild. Wow, that would be such an eerie moment.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have friends who were affected by those fires and weird times, you're right, weird times. So there again, you know, I mean, what do you do when you're faced with the prospect of the place that you worked, gone, your house, gone, your car, gone, everything gone, gone.
It makes the choice easier.
Right?
Totally.
So you go out, you go out, you do this thing, and at first it's weird. You might be reluctant because of the stigma that might be attached to it. And then you start meeting all these people along the way, and you start navigating this lifestyle and figuring out where your next meal is going to be coming from and, you know, how you're just going to get through your day, how you're going to put enough gas in your vehicle to get to the next destination. This movie, this lifestyle, it's all about surviving, adapting, and then getting to the point where, you know, unless it's a health reason or you're tired of living like this, that's when you get off the road. I mean, it was time to come back to the East Coast, so I did. I took a job, and here we are.
And I got to meet you, so yay.
Yeah, well, I am very blessed.
Yeah, so, I mean, Thank you. And I don't mean to get so about you with the story.
That's
but
all good.
You know, like I told you, I have you here, so. But I do, you know, I love that you said awakening, and you're right. This movie, it's so subtle, though, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not like you're getting, like, not, you know, and even the music. I was noticing there's music in it, but it's almost so subtle that you don't even notice it. Did you notice it that much? I think I noticed it more at the end.
I think
there's that piano, you know, that like, but I definitely thought it was not a lot.
It was subtle. It was subliminal.
Yeah.
It kind of snuck up on you. You know, it's like aging. I hate to use this analogy, but you look in the mirror every day, you brush your teeth.
Who is that lady?
You know, and then one day you look in the mirror and you're like, oh my God, that's me. Holy cow. I used to look like that. It sneaks up on you.
So weird.
Okay. And the same thing with her. If you notice the chronological aspect of it, right? A day in her life, and then, you know, a month in her life, and then, you know, she's moving from job to job. 1 year goes by, you see the whole cycle go by, and it repeats itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then before you know it, that could be 5 years gone.
Right.
Or it could be, in my case, 8 years gone.
That's 8 years, man. Wow.
Eight of the most fabulous, amazing, adventurous, magical years of my life. I would not trade one moment of that experience for anything. Not even $1 million.
No, it sounds... I mean, listen, I told you, like, I... Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an amazing experience.
I learned so much. I grew so much. I evolved so much.
Yeah.
As that unfolded for me.
It's really cool.
You know?
I feel like I get the awakening piece, and I think maybe that has something to do with solitude. It has something to do with...
Absolutely.
...detaching from society and allowing yourself to really be with yourself.
That's right.
Because, I mean, for some of us, well, I'll just speak for myself, I don't really have a lot of alone time. Mm-hmm. In my life. My life is, it's, I mean, I get it, but it doesn't it's really hard to feel completely free with all the things I've got attached to and
because
responsible.
People
and
people depend on you.
Right. And so this, for someone like me, this is even more appealing. It's like, oh, man, the thought of just, like, me with just me. Like, I don't know. I maybe it'll happen for me. Maybe I'll take a couple months and just go. Who knows? I don't know what I'm saying. But,
you know, I have to say, you're being very honest.
I'm very honest on here.
You're being very honest about your desires and your fantasies. And, hey, you're not alone. There are hundreds of thousands of people who feel just like you do. And I think coronavirus, too, there's two facets to that. One, the isolation, I think, has forced a lot of people to take a hard, long look without any distraction at themselves, their lives. I mean, there's a lot of...
much of it. Yeah. I mean, not to say something negative, but people with relationships. I mean, I hear divorces.
Of course.
Because suddenly people who've spent so much time running circles around each other are, like, stuck with, like, this is what this is. Like, I'm in it 24/7 now. Like, holy shit. This is what this is? Like, I can't do this anymore. You know, or, like, a job they don't want to do anymore. Or it's...
That's
waking people up.
It's, yes, the awakening. We are undergoing a time in our history that we can remember and be cognizant of that we've never had to experience before as a collective, and getting back to the isolation of it. So you have two facets of that, right? The first facet is the isolation itself, right? Taking a hard, long look at your life, who you're with, what you're doing. You know, does that feel right for me? Because when we're forced into isolation, we have to really look hard at ourselves.
Mm.
We have really very little outside noise, unless we turn on the radio or the television or, you know, we're on our devices or whatever. You know, if you turn all of that off and you only have your thoughts, excuse me.
It's okay.
If you only have your thoughts, you know, our awareness ends at the tip of our noses.
True.
It really does. I certainly don't see the world as it sees me, but when you are forced to be alone, you ponder these things.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who's listening, don't even think for a moment that you haven't stopped during this pandemic for one moment and felt this way. That's what being alone in solitude, even if you're not alone, if you're with your significant other, your family, whatever, everybody is having to learn to navigate differently now. The other aspect of that is, what do you do about it? So what are you going to do with this newfound knowledge? And we're gaining this as a collective.
It's true. I mean, if you look at it that way, it's a brave movie. And Fern is making really brave choices.
Absolutely. Every day.
Every day. I mean, every day she is, like, really putting it on the line. And
but how many people out there wish they could be a Fern?
I think it's, you're right. I mean, I kind of do.
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, like, could I do that?
Yeah.
Tiffany, could you do that? And then I think, I don't know, man. You know, like, I do think COVID has created this idea that, or this, you know, concept that it's like, okay, let me evaluate my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much of this do I have left? And
what am I doing?
Yeah, what am I
Who
doing?
Who am I? And
what
am
the fuck
I,
is going on?
And what am I doing?
Yeah, what am I doing? That's a crazy thought.
So really, that's what, you know, that's what COVID has done. It's made us really take a hard, long look at ourselves, who we are, where we want to be. Basically, maybe we've realized that all we've really done is clutter our lives with all of this external distraction so that we don't take a good, long look at ourselves. Instead, we're doing the American dream, what's expected of us. What do we expect of ourselves? We don't know. We have no clue.
It's true.
I mean, really, when you sit down to take a good, hard, long look at it, this movie, it's just life. When you boil it down to the most common denominator, it's just life, man. Good, bad, indifferent. We're just living it. how it unfolds.
I wonder what is going to happen when, I mean, it's hard to even think that COVID could end at this point, or like the way it's affecting the world right now.
Well, the world is forever changed.
Right.
We're never going to go back to the way. You know, when people said, oh, I just wish that things could go back to normal, there's a new normal.
Yeah, I think it's not going to go back to whatever normal is. You're right.
Well, what it was.
There will never be. Yeah. That feeling, I think.
We were carefree. You know what this really reminds me of?
Yeah.
I hate to say this. This is a horrible analogy, but, you know, things don't affect us until they affect us individually. I mean, as a collective, in mass, you know, we were talking about the fires. We can empathize with those people, but we really don't know what it's like to be in that situation. Same thing with this movie. You don't know what it's like until you're in that situation and you feel it and live it and experience it firsthand. So, you know, how am I to know what your experience is and appreciate it from your perspective? I can't. Mm-hmm. Although I can empathize with you and appreciate, you know, and maybe, you know, say, I really feel for you, but I can't feel like you.
True.
Because you're you and I'm me. So when you find yourself in a tough situation, what are you going to do about it? That's what it's about. It's a reckoning.
I love it.
It is a reckoning. And bringing it back to the movie, that's what we're watching. We're watching this woman not just awaken, but she's having a reckoning.
Yeah.
That's where that epiphany comes from, mm-hmm. That aha moment where she's like, Oh, wow, there's more to this than what I've been living.
It's so crazy. You know what's cool about the movie, too, is she doesn't say a lot.
No.
There's, like, such little dialogue.
On her part.
On her part, yeah. And I thought, I don't know, that was really cool, too. I was kind of, like, to be able to express all of that to the viewer without having to say a whole lot. Is there? Let me ask you, because I know we're getting into the hour mark, but I always like to ask, like, was there a specific scene that really spoke to you that you remember?
A couple of them. One mm-hmm. was when she was walking through the BLM land.
Okay.
Like in her moo-moo, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And just soaking it all in.
That
like
is a beautiful
sponge.
Scene, yes. I can, like, I'm visualizing it now, yeah.
The other one was when her love interest, you know, kind of gave her that choice and she had to wrestle with it. And then the third one that comes to mind was when it was just she and the lady that were left, the other
right.
lady. And she drove off for one last time and she knew she'd probably never see her again.
Wow.
I mean, those were the three parts of the film that just really touched me very deeply. Mm-hmm. She was very quiet, and, you know, it really made me feel the depth and breadth of her solitude.
She was quirky, I will say, just
she
for
was.
My... When she left him, the funniest part about that scene to me, which isn't really funny, but...
How about when he broke the dishes?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
I was fucking scared.
I thought she was going to pick up a piece and just jab him in the jugular. You know, I'm like...
I was like... Oh, buddy, you just fucked it up.
But she was so cool about it.
She was cool about it, but she did have a way where she could be completely rude in a way that was just so uncaring.
Acerbic.
The way she left
abrasive.
That situation at his house felt really wrong to me.
It
I was
did.
Like, you know, you couldn't wait till the morning to
but
be
that was
like,
her.
You're right, she just fucking ghosted him.
That was her. That was just her.
She's just out, you know? And I thought, all right, that's probably... Listen, it's real. People are like that.
She is a nomad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what's a nomad? A wanderer.
She's a wanderer.
With no attachments.
She doesn't have to say.
And no apologies.
I'm leaving. Yeah, like, I'm just,
boom.
It's just, he knew.
Yeah, he did know.
He was one too, so he knows.
Absolutely.
He knew. And he had his own story, you know, he just chose a different path.
That's right.
That scene with Bob, to me, was a really moving scene. And I just thought, what a great scene with this guy
yeah.
who's a real person. And I, you know, believe telling a real story.
Yeah, his story was just...
That was a beautiful scene. And I actually thought, wow.
Yeah, it was very moving.
And he was just really amazing. Like, if I would love to know how many times he repeated that story.
Have you ever watched him on YouTube?
No, but that's, I should check these people out.
I'm subscribed.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a thing you didn't have when you did it.
That's right.
So I do know people are doing this now where they have their channels and people give them money and it's this whole thing.
I had a blog.
Did you have a blog?
Yep.
It's awesome.
And when I traveled. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool because then you can look back on it too.
Mm-hmm. I think it was on Blogspot Radio or something like
that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's still out there.
Maybe we should do it, Jamie. I'm just kidding.
You want to?
Nicole, we're hitting the van. We're getting out.
I got a brand new truck out there and I've got a toy hauler. I'll take it over to Trap Pond and you girls can...
I have a bunch of ideas, actually, about cross country. Really? Well, I have them all the time. Well, I have project ideas, you know?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if I should share them here.
How are we going to make money?
I don't know.
We've got to, you know... Got to eat, man.
There's this new app. It's called OnlyFans.
I am not going to hump any turnips in a bag, sister. I'm not doing it.
Sorry, I'm not doing that. It's a joke. if you guys know what I'm talking about, save your money. Stop it. It's free porn out there. Don't do that. I'll tell you about it later.
I didn't see that coming, but oh, boy. Oh, shit.
I am telling you, I'm like... No filter on this thing.
I got it, man. Holy cow. It's all good. No worries.
I know I told you to watch The Rider, but The Rider is another... Her movie... This woman made this movie before this one.
Yeah, yeah.
That one blew my mind, too, actually.
Really?
In a different way.
Uh-huh.
But a very beautiful film. Chloe, I'm really digging your movies now, so... I hope you get some great recognition.
Well, and, let me know when this is going to air and how she can find it, and I'll...
let's go find her. Let's go.
Well, actually, I'm friends with her on Insta, and you can be, too.
Oh, right. True. The world is so weird. The world is weird.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. I mean, she's very nice. She actually answers...
Shut up.
For real.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding.
All right, we're going to have to do that.
She's really cool. Cool lady. So much respect. I mean, I really enjoy that she has such, you know, her taste is avant-garde. Her material is avant-garde.
Yeah, and she must have a real interest in these stories. It looks like she also made a movie about people living on reservations, like, to you know, like in the 2000s.
Right.
And I think that movie's a real, like, wake-up about what it's like for people grappling with that whole world.
Yeah.
And also, The Rider kind of takes place in the same...
Oh, really?
I think that the Badlands are the backdrop of this film as well.
This movie...
So...
I don't know about her others, but mm-hmm. this movie, for me... I was thinking about this on the way over here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
If I could put it on par... You had asked me this question, and I mm-hmm. wanted to have an answer for you today. If I could put it on par with other movies...
Oh, right, yes.
Memento, 21 Grams...
21 Grams. That is a good movie.
Okay.
I mean, they're both amazing movies, but wow, 21 Grams, yeah.
So I would put this movie in that same category or genre. You know,
that's an interesting pick.
Thought-provoking. Things that are just so obvious and in your face, but you can't see them.
Right.
It's like, you know those crazy little things that we pass around on Facebook where they have some kind of hidden word in it and you have to look through it to see the word pop out?
Oh, yes, yes.
Because you have to change your perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what these movies are about. You know, 21 Grams and Memento, which is really a backwards movie, literally.
It is, literally, yeah.
So, and now this movie here, she talks about difficult subjects. She brings them to life and she makes them relatable to the audience. And yeah, the subject matter, it's intentional. How she delivers it, it's supposed to make us squirm. It's supposed to make us uncomfortable. It's supposed to leave us feeling a little raw. There's something bubbling under the surface with this movie. I don't know. I could feel it. It's like, it's so subtle.
Yeah.
But it was just there, right? Under the surface, just bubbling away, and then at the end, when you understood her backstory, and Bob's backstory, and Sue Ellen's backstory, and all of these backstories, then it comes frothing up to the top, and you're like, whoa.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I do see that she seems to have a really big interest in this kind of a topic that I'm really interested in, and I am a bit jealous of the way she's able to put this into, like, you know, something. Is kind of her curiosity about parts of America, people in America that are very unseen.
Disenfranchised,
and not many topics of movies and fictional movies.
You don't see it on television, do you?
That's what I'm saying, and I love that she puts, like, a... she's, like, shining her light on it and saying, like, these are the stories I'm interested in. These people are the people I'm interested in.
And this is real.
Yeah, and they're out there. I mean, that sense of reality, I think, is something that I really appreciate, and I love movies like that because... I don't know if I'm just getting older. I don't know. You get older and you're like, don't want to watch bullshit movies anymore.
Well, you know.
You know, it's like, okay, yeah. Whatever. Like, shiny, flashy people, yay. And I can appreciate it. But I'm definitely drawn to that more now, I think.
Yeah?
I don't know why. Yeah.
Maybe because your perspective is changing.
Probably true.
And you're going through your own awakening?
Oh, my God, yes. Mm-hmm. It's scary.
Yeah, I've been going through one, too.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Heavy duty.
We should have an awakening podcast.
An awakening podcast. Yeah.
Wake up!
Everyone
wake
is.
Wake up, everybody.
Whether they like it or not. You know, that's the funny thing about waking up.
Uh-huh.
Or getting woke. Seriously, some people just, it happens gradually, and they're like, oh, whoa, no. And then other people are like, you have to drag them kicking and screaming into their awakening because they don't want to give up the old way.
So true.
I mean, I could sit here. I'm really into, like, spiritual stuff. I could, you know.
Me too. We could have a whole conversation. That could be a whole other thing. But no, I get it.
You know.
Yeah.
And I think the collective is awakening.
They are. I mean, I'll never forget it. There's a friend, Julie Fisher, who does a show called The Gifted on this network.
Yeah.
You guys should check her out. And I remember I hadn't seen her for a while, and I'm friends with her.
Oh, cool.
And she is somebody who's into all this stuff, spiritual stuff. Uh-huh. And it was like, it was right when COVID had happened, and now people were kind of meeting. Like, we were okay with it. It was still early, but we were having the masks on, and right. We were in here. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe we're in here. And I was like, isn't this crazy, this COVID, it's like horrible. And she's so funny. She goes, oh my God, it's so amazing. Isn't it beautiful? And I went,
what
the fuck is wrong with you?
But
actually now...
Her perspective.
She's on it because she's a very, like, she's what you're talking about. Jolie, we love you. And you're right. It's the more deeper we get into this, and that's all I think, is I'm like, what an amazing gift this is to everyone.
It really is.
But if you say that to people, they think you're off your fucking rocker.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, it's like prayer, okay? And I know we're not talking about the movie, but it's like prayer. Prayer is like this. Prayer is intention. Now, when you pray with a lot of people, right, that's a lot of intention because it's a high vibe, okay? So you have to really be careful what you pray for and how you pray for it, because a lot of prayers get answered, but they don't get answered in a way that the recipient is happy with.
True that.
Okay, so
mm-hmm. Yep.
When you're praying or intending something, you have to be really super careful how you're doing it, what the intention is really behind it, and, you know, talk about making lemonade out of lemons. Look at how many people have thrived during the pandemic, because human beings, we get really creative and we figure out ways of doing things under great times of duress and during great times of stress.
Mm-hmm.
So we can tie this back into the movie. I mean,
she's doing her own sense
resourceful.
Of that. Yeah, she's like, this is how I'm going to go about it.
You know, okay, this is the hand I've been dealt. What am I going to do about it? Mm-hmm. How am I going to do this? She went out, got herself a van, outfitted it, got on the road, learned the life, made the best of it. She made lemonade out of lemons.
Man, that is like the perfect way to end this. Everyone, right. Get your fucking lemons out and make some damn lemonade.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Whatever works.
Just sound really dumb?
It's the intention. It's
I literally heard Stella go, Oh, Mom. Come on.
It's all good. It's all good.
Listen, Stella, if you were here, I'd love to hear what you would have to say. She's got lots of thoughts, actually.
Yeah. All your kids are great.
They're awesome.
They are amazing people.
They're so unique. And I will say I feel lucky that I get to be around them, you know?
Yeah.
And they teach me everything. I mean, my biggest thing is people have kids thinking they're going to teach them all these things. The trick is you don't realize they're going to teach you about you. That's really what happens.
Yeah,
and then you're like,
mirrors.
Oh, shit. Like, you didn't know that was coming. You thought you had all the wisdom up here? How about take a look at what's really going on?
Hey.
It's amazing. Yeah. And honestly, if you get deeper, I mean, we're all just wearing whatever skin we're wearing. I mean, if you believe in all that crazy shit and reincarnation, like, who knows who's who? I had a joke with Stella the other day. I said to her, you know what? Whenever I'm with you, I really feel like you're my mom. She's like, I am. And I'm like, I think you are. Like, you have mom energy, and I'm like a child. So this is our relationship. Mm-hmm. Kind of. But we laugh about it, and it's hilarious. Because she's just very, like, mature, you know? And I'm, like, flailing around like a Looney Tune. So, listen, guys, you don't know who your kids are.
Well, that's the thing. You've got your tribe, you know? We have our tribe.
So awesome.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks.
Oh
so
my God!
Much.
See, this could go. But thank you, Jamie. Anytime.
Yeah. This has been a blast, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope you come back if you feel.
Sure, I'd love to.
I always tell my guests, people listening, if you see a movie, you're alone, you need to discuss it. I'm here for you.
You are filling a need.
I am here. I've had those moments. You know, look at your animal next to you, and you go, "What the fuck was that?" And the kid just looks at you, and you're like. What am I going to do with this now? Like, I have no one to talk about this with. And if you don't know me and you don't want to come on here, you know what? Talk to people. People isolating, talk to people. I mean, if you need to. I'm not saying you have to, but we're all here and we all want to connect. So thanks everyone for listening. I don't know what the movie will be next week, but I will post it somewhere on my Instagram. If you have suggestions, let me know. Follow all of us on the socialpodcastnetwork.com and have a great rest of your weekend. Goodbye. Bye, Jamie.
Bye.